אתם עם SBS בעברית.
That's right. It was just after 5 p.m. last Monday when the long-awaited news from the Jerusalem District Court filtered through to sisters Dussie Ehrlich, Nicole Meyer and Ellie Sapper in Melbourne, when Malka Leifer, their alleged sexual abuser and former principal at a Dus Israel school, had been ordered for extradition to Australia. Maya told the Jewish News, "We literally jumped for joy. It was an incredible moment to hear words that we almost never thought we'd hear since 2011. 9 years we were waiting since lodging statements to the police. It's still incredible to think about it now." Although they said every time that it's been brought up, every time there was a court hearing, and there were more than 60 court hearings over the years, she said our lives turned upside down because as the case became more high profile, it meant a lot more media and exposure, and that takes a lot of strength. So in the court, the judge has decided that Leifer is mentally fit to be extradited to Australia. There still remains a procedural step, whereas the decision can be appealed, and also Israel's Justice Minister, Avi Nissim-Korn, is still required to sign off on the extradition.
And we are talking to Shandy Ziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, Australia opposed to another anti-Israel resolution at the UN. That was last week.
Yes, the Australia-Israel and Jewish Affairs Council has welcomed the Australian government opposing another anti-Israel UN resolution. Australia opposed a resolution last weekend in the United Nations Economic and Social Council that singled out Israel for the alleged mistreatment of Palestinian women and girls, while no other country was similarly condemned. Australia has held true to Prime Minister Scott Morrison's stated principle to call out the UN's biased approach towards Israel, the Council's Executive Director Colin Rubinstein said. He said in the UN Human Rights Council, the UN General Assembly and many other UN forums, Australia has continued to highlight the unreasonable focus placed on Israel. And we have the absurd situation of other countries, he said, with terrible human rights records on women, criticizing Israel for discrimination that has actually occurred under Palestinian self-rule in Gaza and also on the West Bank.
Shane, in a few hours, we're going to welcome Yom Kippur. Usually I would rush home straight from this broadcast to make sure that I've got Suda Maspeket before my fast of Yom Kippur and then rush to the shul for Kol Nidrei service. Well, this year, I think the first time in my life, I will not be attending Kol Nidrei service in shul. What is interesting that a filmmaker, Danny Ben Moshe, documented Melbourne jury lockdown during Rosh Hashanah, and that's going to be screened.
Yes, it's lovely timing, and I think it'll add a lot of meaning to everyone who's able to watch it. It'll be on ABC One on Sunday, 27th September from 4 p.m. And then after the film, a website address will be on the screen so that people can watch a full virtual service starting from 5:30 p.m. Now, Danny Ben Moshe's film called Yom Kippur in Lockdown is centered around Melbourne's Caulfield Hebrew congregation, and the half-hour documentary follows cantor Dov Farkas as he prepares to sing the emotional Kol Nidrei prayer at a live stream service before the fast begins. We're telling this story from Caulfield Hebrew congregation, but we could have been telling it from any number of synagogues around Australia of any denomination, said Ben Moshe, who wrote the film together with his son, emerging filmmaker Josh. He said it tells the story of Yom Kippur in lockdown and that unique situation, but as well, it tells the story to a broad audience. It is also very intentionally a taste of Kol Nidrei for members of the Jewish community who are obviously not going to be able to go to synagogue this year. And remarkably, he made this documentary very quickly. He said it was just 2 weeks beforehand that he got a call from ABC He said, normally a film like this would take at least 6 months to put together and then 6 weeks to edit. But he said, we were able to do it in 12 days. So it's the quickest turnaround of any film he's ever made, but he still feels the result is very, very touching and informative and moving and inspiring. It's just amazing he could do all that in just 12 days.
I think it's amazing and shouldn't be missed. Personally, this is going to be my Kol Nidre evening with the Chazan Dov Farkash, with the recordings of Kol Nidre he did beforehand. Another thing for Rosh Hashanah was for the high holidays. The Jewish community did something very unique this year. And I'm talking about these holiday packs.
Yes, more than 5,000 high holiday packs were distributed ahead of Rosh Hashanah and the focus of the Together Never Apart initiative will now turn to Yom Kippur. So it's in Sydney, Maroubra Synagogue's Rabbi Yossi Freeman is encouraging Jews across Australia to join together for a moment of silence at noon this Yom Kippur in lieu of attending Yizkor and to check in on someone before the fast begins. Maroubra congregant Sharon said her high holiday pack made her Rosh Hashanah service more meaningful and brought it to life.
Yes, and also don't forget, if you are saying Yizkor, to light the Yizkor candle before the start of Yom Kippur in a few hours' time. Shane, on a totally different topic, the geography is changing for the Sydney Jewish community. Not everybody now lives in Bondi, Rose Bay and St. Ives.
That's right. Sydney's Jews, there's a trend of moving further south to get more bang for their housing buck, according to data from JCA's Jewish Population of New South Wales Key Findings Report on the 2016 census and the Gen 17 report. So while Jewish population growth in the southeastern suburbs slowed a little bit from 20% down to 1.7% in the last 5 years, suburbs in the southeast, including Malabar, Chifley, Matraville, Botany and Pagewood, all experienced Jewish population growth of over 30%. In the same period, the Upper North Shore of Sydney had a net loss of more than 100 Jews per year in the last 5 years on average. The Jewish population in regional and country New South Wales grew by almost 30%. So JCA Planning Committee 2050 working group member Craig Blackson said the community will need to be quite strategic in its consideration on where to invest and divest in order to promote a diverse and resilient and sustainable community. Overall, there were 47,800 Jews in New South Wales in the 2016 census, and the population grew in New South Wales, the Jewish population, at just 0.5% in those previous 5 years. There's been a considerable decline in immigration, and Blackstone said, if net zero migration continues to be an issue, we need to find new ways to perhaps attract and retain our young Jewish families so that we don't lose them to more affordable states.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. I would like to wish you Gmar Chatima Tova and Shana Tova.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.